As I mentioned last week, I talked about commitment of your time at what?
Work.
That's right, on your work. And I'm glad to see a very big attendance this evening. So it's working. And today I'm going to talk about the commitment of your time as well. But this is not your time at work. This is what we call leisure time. Leisure time. In our last session, that means last week, we talked about the commitment of your personal time on your job. I challenge you to think about the amount of time that you spend on your work. The amount of time that you spend at work. And evaluate if there is a need for you to do so. That means if there's a need for you to spend so much time. If you're spending little time, then maybe you better think about it. But what I'm saying here is that if you're spending a lot of time, maybe you should think it through also whether you're spending too much and whether is it necessary for you to spend that much. At the same time, I ask that you would consider the use of your time. The use of your time in some other ways. Meaning to say, if you're able to afford less time at work and to take out more time for some other things, then think about maybe you can spend more time with your family, with your church people, and even to do the work of the Lord, to serve in the church. And whether you like it or not, or whether you even notice it or not, we spend most of our time at work. Don't we? We spend most of our time at work, especially if you're one of the workers that is contributing to the economy of Singapore. And I'm looking at most, right? Therefore, this is a subject that calls for our attention. But life is not all work and no play, right? That's why for a lot of people, the motto is work hard, play hard. We all need time off. We all need space for relaxation. We all need leisure and recreation. And so the topic of my lesson this evening is on the use of your leisure time. The use of your leisure time. Basically, leisure is the remainder of your time after working hours. Right? Once you knock off, that is leisure. Even before you go to work, that is leisure. Whatever is not work is leisure. Just put it simply, that. And it can mean different things to different people. For some people, leisure means a time to catch up with TV programs or laze around on the couch and do nothing. Literally nothing. Right? For those who are more active and maybe the outdoor type, then it would be a time to maybe hit the gym or the soccer field. Most of the young people here do. Whatever it is, we make the choice. We make the choice in the way we want to spend our leisure time. Just like how we choose to dedicate our time on our job. We make the choice. Our leisure can be beneficial and relaxing, as the examples that I've just given. But one question to ask ourselves is, I'm just going through the introduction. One question to ask ourselves is, do they have a purpose? Do they have a purpose? And this is a question that people seldom ask, especially when they are dealing with your leisure time. Because leisure time is supposed to be leisure, right? And you're not supposed to think, right? No, wrong. Right? You might be thinking already in your own seat, do I have to commit even my leisure time to the Lord? I mean, isn't that my time? Can I not just rest and relax and what most people say today, chill? You know, chill. And listen to this. Do I even have to program every minute of my time? Can't I just let some of my time pass me by without even have to plan for it and even have to feel guilty about it? These are some questions that you might be asking already. Well, the commitment of your leisure time to the Lord, whether you do it or not, might make the difference between letting it go to waste and giving it purpose. Whether you plan for it, it makes a difference. whether it goes to waste or whether it has a purpose. And if you were to devote even more spare time to the Lord, dedicate more of your leisure time to the Lord, it might make the difference between you saying, I'm not free, or I don't have the time, don't come and ask me to teach Sunday school or serve as usher or whatever. Or it might make you say, no problem, I can help. No problem, I'll be there since I'm not doing anything. So, are you willing to commit even your leisure time to God for His use? If you are, then let's move on. Again, let's begin by talking about the norm. Remember last week we begin by talking about the norm in Singapore. What is the norm? What is the norm here in Singapore? I've already mentioned a few common leisure activities. To add on, we have shopping and eating, also known as food tasting. Nowadays it's a higher class of level. It's called food tasting. All right, shopping and food tasting have always been top on the list. Or a lot of family, they do this. They will spend a day at a recreation clubhouse, which they are a member of. Or if you're like me, who doesn't believe in paying membership fee, then we go to the free park, East Coast Park, Pasir Ris Park, which likewise cater to different kinds of social, recreational and sports needs. Or like my children, just go downstairs and play with the Malay kids, cycle around, play football, and that's it. That's our leisure. The ways by which people make use of their leisure time are of much variety. Do Christians spend their leisure time differently? Well, some do. Just take our church members as examples. We attend prayer meeting on Wednesday night, Bible Institute classes on other weekdays night, participate in youth fellowship, and nowadays we have young adults fellowship on Saturday afternoons, or even join a church choir practice session. That's how we spend our leisure time at times. But for most Christians, I have a hunch that their leisure time is spent in pretty much the same way as the other rest, which is for fun and relaxation. Now, every person has the same amount of time, right? 160 hours a week, no more nor less. Of these 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we all have a work commitment, be it within or outside of the house. You could be a homemaker or a retiree. You could be self-employed or working for an employer. You could be a student or a volunteer. But your work seldom exceeds 50 hours a week. If your work exceeds 50 hours a week, something is quite wrong. Okay, that's an alarm. That's to sound you off, alright? 50 hours. And the remainder of your time is leisure, as I mentioned moments ago. Your personal free time. And we all make choices on how to spend our leisure time, just as we choose the amount of time to pump into our job. In the past, you might have chosen to watch a movie whenever you're free, like most of my colleagues, that's what they do. Saturday is movie time. Play a sport, attend a class, travel overseas. It's amazing how many countries people have traveled at how young an age. It's amazing. It's really amazing. Just a couple of years ago, my colleague was 36 years old and he was telling me that he has traveled to almost every place that he can find to travel. And now he's looking for places which are less traveled, like India and the place where you can see the lights in the sky. Yeah, he's going to the extreme. I mean, that's how people are today, traveling. Okay? And I haven't covered even Malaysia, all of Malaysia. But that's what people do. Read a book, volunteer in some community services, or participate in a church event like the Ladies Fellowship. These are the things that we have done in the past, and we this will continue to be options for us to choose to do. Will we begin to choose differently after today's lesson? It was missionary C.T. Studd, missionary to China, India, and Africa, who said, "Only one life till soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last." You must have heard of this quote, this saying before, and it came from C.T. Studd. Remember that. Only one life you'll soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And this is exactly what we're talking about. Things done for God that will matter for eternity. How have you been using your leisure time? How are you going to use your leisure time to make sure it matters for eternity? So next we want to look at the choices that we can make. Let's compare, as I mentioned earlier, between letting it go to waste or giving it a purpose. Remember the Chinese idiom, for those of you who were here last week? Remember the Chinese idiom that I shared with you, describing how it is impossible to purchase time using gold? As a young boy, as a young schoolboy, I will be constantly reminded by the truth of this idiom to use my time wisely on my studies, because that was my primary responsibility. And I would bear in mind not to spend too much time on watching TV and playing marbles. It's amazing, nobody play marbles nowadays. Sometimes when I walk by a bare patch, I have the urge to play marbles. I don't know. Well, anyway. Of course, there were times still when my mom had to remind me about my schoolwork, because I was not always diligent in the use of my time. I remember, and this was many years back, but I still remember vividly that night when I went downstairs to watch a sepak takraw match. For a few hours, I sat near the open air court. No aircon, but I just sat down there watching the players jump and flip and kick. I was totally engrossed. At about 9 p.m., the game ended and I went home. The moment I stepped into the house, my mom asked me, "Have you studied for your test tomorrow?" At 9 p.m. I was shocked, and as it turned out, I wasted my time. I misused my time on a ball game, and I did not have as much time as I would have needed to study for my tests. I could never recycle my time. Time wasted is gone. Just like work, leisure is part and parcel of almost every teenager and certainly every adult's life. Whatever we choose to use it for, be it recreation, entertainment, Bible study, or church ministries, they all fit into that limited amount of leisure time that we have. Like I say, we don't have much leisure time to spare. So whatever we do, it fits inside there. But the thing is, they don't just happen. I mean, the TV does not just come on by itself and says to you, "Watch me." No, it don't happen. It don't just happen. All right? We commit our leisure time to be used a certain way. As I say again and again, we make the choice. You are the controller of your own time. We make the choice. See then, and this comes from Ephesians chapter 5. Turn with me if you have a Bible with you, on your lap or on your phone. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 to 16. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 to 16. I briefly quoted these two verses last week. If we are the controller of our time, Paul says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." The word translated as circumspectly has the sense of carefully, diligently, or accurately. That means you walk around with your eyes open. You pass through each day with plans in mind, diligently. And you plan your time accurately. This is what all falls into the word circumspectly. So we have been commanded to be careful in our Christian walk. And Paul says, not just to walk carefully, but wisely. Wisely as well. So to walk carefully, diligently, and accurately, that is wise. To do otherwise, Paul says, that is behaving like a fool. The word translated in verse 16 as redeeming has the sense of buying. Just like we have been redeemed from the slave market, from the sin market, buying. And in this case, it means to buy time. It means to buy time. So the greater thought of these two verses is of not wasting the time that God has given to us. We are not to waste our time. And especially in these evil times. In these evil times. But to use it wisely and carefully as God intended for us. So we need to plan. So to answer the questions that I asked myself earlier, do I have to commit even my leisure time to the Lord? Should I feel guilty about carelessly letting my time slip by me? The answer is yes. We need to plan our time. We must not let our time go to waste because we are to be wise in the usage of our time. You probably, like me when I was a boy, had regretted making some unwise choices because you were maybe lazy, or you spend your time on some meaningless projects or a fruitless shopping trip. And you might have made some changes to the way you use your leisure time in the past due to new commitments that came into your life. We make changes, and that is all right. Right? There are certain things that we should not commit for life. There are times that we need to make changes. Personally, I had to adjust my leisure in the past. Partially due to my new commitments after I became a husband and then a father of 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5. So I had to make changes along the way. And even now, I have to make changes. So the one who stubbornly keep to his plan, even as he has changed his status in life, he's going to be in big trouble. Right? Because he's not planning, he's not walking circumspectly, he's just walking foolishly. And I believe you too want to make better use of your time. Right? So, instead of going along with the norm, instead of saying that, this is what I've been done for the past 20 years, we need to evaluate our time, the use of our time, and see if there's some improvement to be made. A good way to begin, therefore, is to check the purpose. I talk about wastage. Now let me talk about purpose. The purpose of our leisure. There are people who would take afternoon nap faithfully for the purpose of resting and revitalizing their tired body. For those who believe in working out and staying fit, they might keep to a schedule of jogging daily, early in the morning. My neighbor jogs 10 kilometers every day, in the morning. Married couples have weekly gatherings with their parents or in-laws for the purpose of family bonding. And these are all praiseworthy purposes. Family bonding, good health, and strong body, these are all praiseworthy purposes. However, our concern should not only be to have a purpose in our leisure activities. When we don't have any purpose, yes, most of the time we will just let the time go to waste. But to have the purpose is not the sole concern, it's not the only concern. Why? Most people have a purpose for doing the things they do. Even when one is lazing around, The purpose is to switch off and do nothing. There is a purpose. There is a purpose. But I believe you would agree with me that too much of doing nothing is an unwise use of time. It is a waste of time, in fact. So having a purpose doesn't mean it all right? Even so, not every purposeful activity can be considered a good stewardship of God's time, a good stewardship of the time that God has entrusted us with. Furthermore, too much of using our time for a good purpose, example, to maintain good health or to hunt for a good bargain, might even be unwise. Have you met people who are a bit too health conscious? A bit too fitness conscious? They join every Pilates, yoga, whatever that comes. You know, they stretch here, pull here, bend here. They go for everything. And people who are bargain conscious, whatever sale they will go. And what's the purpose? The purpose is to save. Not to buy. No, don't talk about buy. Buy is not a good word. It's to save, alright? And that is a good purpose. But too much of it, we must admit, is not that good. Who say buy, by the way? Okay, alright? If we are not careful, not circumspect with using our time, our leisure, if it's done too excessively, can become a lifestyle. It can become a lifestyle of our own. People who spend maybe 5 days a week in a gym, you know, it has become a lifestyle. So there is another concern. Besides letting it go to waste, besides putting a purpose in the things that we do, there is another concern. And that concern is to check whether our leisure is it inward, self-serving, or outward, selfless. If we be honest with ourselves, our personal leisure is usually very inward or self-serving. Why? Because it is our time. It is my leisure time. It's after work. Nobody disturbs me. It is my time. So it's very inward serving. When our leisure becomes a lifestyle, as I mentioned, hitting the gym 5 times a week or joining every sports activity, when it becomes a lifestyle, you know what happened? We tend to close the door of our personal life to other people whom we think might disturb our lifestyle. It's very natural. You want to protect yourself. When your leisure becomes a lifestyle, you tend to shut the door, close everybody out whom you think might disrupt your lifestyle. We are afraid that others might disrupt our choices of leisure activity. And that is why some parents don't do well as parents. Because when they were single, they had this lifestyle. When after they got married, they still can keep to their lifestyle because they tell the spouse, you have your own, I have my own lifestyle. But when children came along, and if they still do not want to change, that becomes a problem. Because the parent, the spouse, have to play his or her part. And when he doesn't, then who comes in? The grandmother or the helper, so that he can continue to have that lifestyle. Am I not right? Right? So that it becomes a problem when you have become a lifestyle, and when you close the door to others. Therefore, besides giving our leisure a purpose and ensuring that it doesn't go to waste, we need to watch out also and make sure that we do not become so self-centered to the exclusion of others from our life. Why? Because we are a church. If we are talking about the secular world, no, then this doesn't really matter to them. You know, we all can live our own life. After work, everybody have their own life. But it's not that way. We are a church. Can you imagine everybody comes to church, say hi, after church we all go our own way, no fellowship, nothing. You may be sitting next to one another, but after we are done, you're eating down there by yourself, quietly, nobody talk to one another, and just, you know, as if we don't know one another. How weird would that be? Our Lord Jesus Christ does not want us to use our time that way, solely for ourselves to the exclusion of others. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 29 to 31, we see Jesus Christ Himself using His leisure time, His free time, to minister to the needs of others. You mean Jesus Christ had free time? Yes, He had. He had free time. But He used His free time even to minister to the needs of others. So much so that when we read through the Gospel, it is as if He didn't have free time. In Matthew 15, verse 29 to 31, we read, "And Jesus departed from thence, and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee, and went up into a mountain, and sat down there." For what? To rest. To rest. To take a break. To take a break. "And great multitudes came unto Him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet. And He told them, I need a break. Don't disturb Me." No, He healed them. He healed them. "In so much that the multitude wondered, when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel." That is our example. That is our example. The example of our Lord Jesus Christ is for us to follow. Whenever possible, that is, our leisure time should be used for the benefit of others as well. On the one hand, we all do need time off. Otherwise, we'll burn out. We all do need time off to ourselves, but it's not so much that we waste it. All right? On the other hand, we do not want to be so self-focused in the use of our leisure time that we isolate ourselves from the needs of others, especially people of your own church. So, how can I adjust my leisure time so as to minister to the needs of others as well? Again, I'm glad if you asked. To strike a balance between the leisure time for personal use and for others, we need to be, first of all, willing to give up some of our so-called privacy. We need to be willing to give up. Remember, our time is not our own. Whose is it? It is the Lord's. It is God's. And so is our lifestyle. We do in fact influence others around us. I always remember my previous pastor told me that a pastor is like living in a fish tank. Maybe Pastor Mo have heard of it or said of it before. What does that mean? You're living in a transparent house. Everybody see you, everybody knows what happens, what's happening in your house, and why? It is because the pastor's time is always available for his church people. Romans chapter 14, verses 7, 8, and 12, put it this way, "For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's." Verse 12, "So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." If we apply these verses in the use of our time, it means that the way we use our time can influence others. If you are the kind that want to close the door and exclude yourself or exclude others, then the way people will look at you is that you are someone who just do not be entertained, do not minister, do not mix around and all that, and like what in the school they always like to say antisocial, right? But as I said again, hopefully we don't see that in the church. Hopefully we don't see that amongst ourselves. When we commit our leisure time to the Lord, it all comes under the leadership of our Lord Jesus Christ and the direction that He gives. When we surrender our time back to Him, He will be the one to direct us. When we avail ourselves to the Lord, He will make sure that our time will be put into good use. He will arrange appointment for you. He will bring people to cross your path so that you can minister to them. Christians who commit their leisure time to the Lord open the doors of their lives to others. They allow their privacy to be invaded and their time to be taken. Their homes are open and their schedule is adjustable. They allow others to influence them. Basically, their leisure is available for people and their needs for the interests of others. You might be thinking, so I'm not going to have a life of my own? No. You don't have to give up everything to others right away. And I must warn you, if you're not careful, people will manipulate you. So, there needs to be a balance, there needs to be wisdom. I'm not telling you to have no life. Alright, otherwise your spouse will complain, your children will complain, and you will similarly burn out. Alright? And let me give you some examples. I've read of some examples in a book that I was reading on commitment. And this may be more applicable, some in the States, some not. I read about this pilot, this airline pilot. And what does he do? Fly a plane, of course, right? But during his free time, he flies Christian evangelists and musicians to their place of ministry and no charge. Of course, he cannot provide the plane. He just provides that service. He's the pilot. And he does this at his own cost and his own time, or during his off days. And many of his colleagues could be running another business to earn extra income or to play golf or whatever. But no, not for him. A consultant takes half a day a week out of his revenue producing appointment hours. You know, consultant earn by their hours, right? Right? They earn by not talking, right? But he takes his own time to study the Bible and prepare to teach Sunday school. A church member served his church for years on his own time, doing maintenance and a multitude of tasks in the church that people hardly notice. His own time. My personal friends in Australia, an old couple, elderly couple, they use their time, their free time from work, after their work, to minister to Aboriginal Christian families, their own time. I know of soccer coaches in Singapore, this is in Singapore, who use his own free time on weekday afternoon to impart, to teach a bunch of homeschool boys soccer and also have a time of Bible study. Now, I don't think that these people have no other things to do. Like my mom used to say, so free after a meal. You know the Chinese? So free after a meal. Nothing to do. You know, so find some of these things to do. No, I don't think so. Or maybe they have too much time to spare. No, I don't think so. These are busy people. But they made the choice. They decided to use their leisure time to minister to other people in need, to bring glory to God. To bring glory to God. And they choose to give purpose to their leisure by meeting the needs of others. What can you do? What can you do for others with your leisure time? Don't tell me to give tuition and earn money. Okay? To give tuition, to reach out, to share the gospel, yes, that's a worthy cause. Our leisure time is but a small portion of our life that we can take and commit to the Lord for His use. It's just a small portion. Of course, it is not natural for us to give up our personal time and spend our time on others. Why? Because it is our time. Just like our money and our possession and so on and so forth. It demands choices, your choice. It requires sacrifices to give up sleeping less, to give up doing things, your own things at home, to minister to others, to allow people in need to call you and say, I need help, I need someone to talk to, or someone to pop at your front door and have fellowship with you. Is your lifestyle very inward and self-serving, such that you have no time for others and no space for fellowship? That is something we need to check, something we need to ask ourselves. And like I said, I believe all of us want to be good stewards, not just with our money, but with our time as well. Allowing Jesus to lead and guide us in the use of our leisure time is definitely a commitment that will matter for eternity. So, put some thoughts into the use of your leisure time. And if it happened this week, you're standing at home in your room, don't know what to do, that means you're free. That means you can do something worthwhile. Think about that. Let's pray.